Welcome to Wind Tucson. It is Monday. It is raining in Tucson. I love it when it rains. And
sure is.
It is buckets, and I think I saw Noah's Ark floating by on the way in today.
Snow on the highway all around the state as well.
We have to start. The Wildcats won over the weekend.
Boy, did they ever, huh?
I know. That was great. That was a decisive. They were ranked 10th, and the team was ranked, 14th or 15th, but my Wildcats did not disappoint. So, I am just very excited today about my guest. So we've got a lot of information to unpack, and there's a lot going on in the state. So as we know, as of Friday, four different lawsuits are filed to contest this election or to point out all the anomalies and some would say fraudulent activity. That still has to be proven in a court of law. But in the background, there's been something going on since the last election in 2020, which was suppressed, and that was Hunter Biden's laptop. And I'm very excited for my listeners today to hear from Garrett Ziegler, who was a former Trump staffer who has been releasing information off of Hunter Biden's laptop over the past year. Garrett, welcome to Wind Tucson, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me.
So, Garrett, you have released, I want to say, over 120,000, or is it even more now, emails that and other information that was on Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah, so it's 128,000 emails. That's every email on his laptop. And we did that in May, actually. It's free. Anybody can go download them all. It's on BidenLaptopEmails.com. And then the reason why we did that in May is because for the past 14 months, we've been putting together a comprehensive dossier just on the crimes on the laptop. So none of the salacious stuff per se, but just on the verifiable statute violations. And so we put that out beforehand. So when our report dropped, and it dropped on October 19th, people could go check our work in real time. So, you know, when we're using an email exchange between Hunter and Joey, they can see the exact email that we cite in the report. And so we've gotten zero left-wing pushback from on this report and on our releases, because we think it's pretty foul-proof. But, you know, it really boggles the mind, Kathleen, how many different types of felonies the First Family committed. It's not simply, yeah.
I wanted to underline what you just said, because I think it's so important. The left-wing media has not pushed back. You can't understate that, because if what you've presented is so clear-cut and so irrefutable, then that alone demands that there be action taken. So it's not just that you've released this information, but the fact that you're laying out legal court cases, you've pretty much handed, I'm hoping, to the judiciary, and hopefully Jim Jordan decides to run with this. But this is something that it should be just a easy case to prosecute. Now, I'm saying that in air quotes, because we know that that's not going to be the case. It hasn't been the case. But I really applaud your efforts and the fact that you've been able to not present this emotionally, but present it legally, because that is the only way this is going to have the impact that it needs to have.
Thank you. And we have been on the Hill and in this, both on the House and Senate side. And one thing I'll say is, you know, as you alluded to, Joey will pardon Hunter, even if it's the last thing he does, even if it's January 19th, 2025, he's going to pardon Hunter. But remember, the president, and you know this, but some of our listeners might not, the president can only pardon federal crimes. And so what I'm very interested in is there are a lot of state-level statutes that Hunter violated that carry significant jail terms and significant fines. A couple of those, not a lot, but a couple, were committed in states that have somewhat fair legal system. So we're not talking about California or New York, which is where a lion's share of the felonies were committed. But To get hyper local, you know, there was actually a state level felony that Hunter committed in Arizona in 2016. Yes, that is. We actually talk about it in our report for two whole pages. Hunter Biden was drunk and high, and he was going to a rehab center. Ironically, and it was in northern Arizona. And long story short, he dropped off his rental car with a meth pipe in it. And the Republican prosecutor and the Republican sheriff up there basically let him get off. They called in the Secret Service, and there was a total cleanup operation. I don't know if your listeners know about that, but there's a whole police report, tons of paper trail on this. And he was supposed to go to this retreat center in Sedona run by this hippie woman named Puma. You can't make this up, Kathleen. And so he leaves the meth pipe in the car, and all this was Republican. And so I think that's another part of our report that's not really talked about a lot, is there are more Republicans featured in our report than Democrats. And of the 51 former intelligence agents that signed that ridiculous October 19, 2020 letter, there are more Republican signatories on that letter, which just is mind-boggling.
Well, the law should see no party, right? The law is the law.
Yeah.
And when we somehow show political favor, I don't care what party you are, and I don't care what party you're showing favor to, that's not the law. That's subversion of the law. And if we don't want to have total chaos, and I think we are on the very dangerously close to total chaos in our country at this point. And can you just imagine, I think this gets said over and over again, if these were the Trump kids, right? If these were the Trump kids,
yes.
You know, Hunter Biden, let's just put in Don Jr., he'd be in jail still right now. And there'd be no question about it.
There's, you know, we rely on two pieces of corroborating evidence to include to prove that there's a crime. So there's not just one, there's two different pieces. And at the very least, sort of the top line press release version of this dossier is, at the very least, there are 459 violations of state and federal laws and regulations. So that ranges to everything from FARA, Foreign Agent Registration Act violations, to money laundering. Hunter was not only consuming crack cocaine, but dealing in it. That's something that everybody leaves out. They just want to paint this picture as this poor addict who can't be, you know, held accountable for his actions, even though a quarter of Wall Street is snorting cocaine. He thinks that if people think he's on drugs, he can't be held accountable to the law, which is just laughable. But, you know, there are so many, it's a cornucopia of criminality that if it were anybody else, as you said, he would have got bid on something by now. But no, I think he's the most protected person in the American left wing sphere. At the top of the interview, you mentioned the suppression operation. I mean, look at the Pavlovian dog like response that the former spooks went into. Everybody in the media and everybody in the Biden campaign to protect Hunter. I always compare it to like wild oxen when they're faced with a predator. Hunter was in the middle, and all the adult oxen circled around. And that's still what we're facing today. He still has to face no tough questions. I mean, a tough question that the president of the United States should be asked by any enterprising journalist is, "Hey Joe, how many grandchildren do you have?" That's a very simple question that the president wouldn't be able to answer because they don't recognize Hunter's daughter with a stripper named Dallas.
We're going to come back on that. We have to take a small break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Garrett Ziegler. You're listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn with Wynn Tucson. We'll be back right after these short messages. Welcome back to this Monday edition of 10:30 a.m. The Voice. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and we're talking to Garrett Ziegler. Garrett, you formed a company, Marco Polo?
Yes, ma'am. Nonprofit. 501c3.
Okay. And I ordered your, I think, is it 660-page book on
yes,
the Hunter
book? Yes, 644. yeah. I basically cut my vein and bled on the paper for a year, and that's what came out. 2,000 footnotes, and it was a really a group effort. I was the writer behind the effort, but we have private investigators, forensic accountant. We have a lawyer who basically helped me go through the U.S. Code and find each of these statutes. And what people are going to find is every time we allege a crime, we don't just put that. We put the date it occurred, the accomplices to the crime, the district that a U.S. attorney could potentially bring this action in, and then the actual state and federal statute. So no one can say that we didn't have the specificity required.
And you said, I think before the break, over 440 some crimes have been committed based on your analysis.
Yes, ma'am, 459. And that's a very conservative estimate. I would be willing to bet my life on that number. There could be as many as 700, but we just don't have all the sources. Like, there are scenarios in the laptop that point to further criminality, but Hunter deleted emails, or he was a crack addict too. So there are some things that he didn't take meticulous records on. And being facetious, I mean, the thing is so disorganized that, you know, it looks like my 18-month-old son was left with the laptop for a while and just dragged stuff.
So what you're saying is that Hunter is not a functioning crack addict.
No, quite from it. And we have, again, talked with congressional investigators, and one thing I have been humbly saying publicly even is there are so many handlers around him, his assistants from Katie Dodge to Joanne Mayer, people who aren't in the news that basically ran Hunter's life. They printed off his boarding passes. They corresponded with Secret Service to get him to where he needed to go. And so these handlers know so much about Hunter that they would be, any so-called investigation that occurs in the Congress needs to include these people. And that's what that's our value add. I played with the Rubik's Cube long enough to know who these smaller and younger folks are in his life that know the entire corruption tango. And so hopefully they're called via subpoena, at least to produce documents. But it's really an incredible thing, Kathleen. You know, Joe just tries to tell us that Hunter has an addiction problem. That's sort of their fallback excuse for everything.
Correct.
But, you know, Joe could come clean, but instead he calls Hunter the smartest man he knows.
Yeah.
So this is an incredible thing. You'd think they would be humble and repent of some of their sins, which have been on display for nearly 2 years now, and we put them in paper format in clean fashion. But no, Joe still believes Hunter's the smartest man he knows. So it's really an incredible hubris that drives them.
And well, and let's just talk about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not separate from many of these transactions or communications. Joe Biden isn't outside of anything that Hunter did. And a lot of what Hunter did, the meetings and all the other things that Hunter was involved with, involve his father. Am I wrong
Very
to say
good point.
That?
No, you're not wrong. We have Joe on 7 federal felonies, 7 different violations of state and federal laws and regulations. And we were very conservative in these estimates. And the felonies range from using non-public information for financial gain to facilitating Foreign Agent Registration Act violations, and then to the big one, which is tax evasion, which is what they got Al Capone on. And we go into detail on all of these things. I'll just get very, very very specific just on one of the crimes. Joe and Barack Obama bragged for years that they released their public tax returns, and ergo they were the bastion of transparency. But in fact, based on multiple emails on the Biden laptop, there were commingling of funds and unreported gifts that Joe received, which weren't on his tax returns, from his son's businesses. Not only did Joe have a private iPhone line funded by his son's consulting firm, Rosemont Seneca Partners, which again was in part funded by foreign oligarchs, but there are tens of thousands of dollars in house repairs and standard living expenses that Hunter, for his entire vice presidency, was expected to foot the bill for Joe. So it was the operation, and we do cite RICO one time. There's one RICO violation that Hunter admits to, but basically you have a racketeering operation where Joe is the chairman. In fact, Hunter calls him that. That's why I'm using that verbiage.
Right.
Joe's the chairman, and Joe's job is to go to these foreign nations and make the initial introductions and be the ambassador on behalf of the Biden name. Then once Joe gets on Air Force Two and goes back home, Hunter goes in to close the deal. And that deal is basically an illegal lobbying contract. They call it consulting, which sounds fun, which sounds cute, and everybody thinks it's like above board. But basically, his business model was FARA violation. So if somebody took out a map listening to the show and just, well, even if they had a globe and just spin the globe and pick a random country, if Joe is the quote-unquote point man in that country for Barack Obama, you can almost guarantee that Hunter has a consulting contract in that country. And so we wouldn't have known the details of this if he hadn't abandoned this laptop. And I'm just the young guy nerd in the room who played with the Rubik's Cube long enough to figure out who all these people are. You know, so there's over like 400 people featured in our report. It's not in I pulled up while we were on break, Kathleen, I pulled up the page in our report if anybody's listening,
yes,
and following along online. Again, this is all free online. We're a charity. It's Biden.digital or hereshunter.com is another link we put up. Our main website's MarcoPoloUSA.org. They can find the report there. But the page that I'm alluding to is page 455. We call it the Arizona Affair. And it occurred in basically in I always botch this name. It's
Yavapai County. Yavapai.
Yes, Yavapai County. And I'm going to mention the two Republicans who are very involved in this miscarriage of justice. And I'm totally confident saying that one of them is still the DA. Her name's Sheila Polk.
Sheila
and then
Polk.
The other is,
yes,
John Palladini. These two people were directly involved in an incident whereby Hunter Biden got away with meth because his daddy was the sitting vice president. And then there was this hippie, basically rehab director named Shauna Stengel. And if you have Twitter, I don't know if we just got back on Twitter because Musk bought it, but if you have Twitter, I'll post the page that I'm alluding to, Kathleen, to go,
yes,
into this. There's a great sort of middle of the road. I wouldn't call him a leftist, but he's probably a lib. There's a great piece in the Phoenix New Times on this that actually came out in May of 2019. This is when the liberals were starting to attack Joe before they all rallied around him. This is when he just announced for president and they thought they were going to get Kamala for their nominee. But the title of the piece is called Why Joe Biden's Son Wasn't Charged for Cocaine. And again, there was not only a meth pipe in the vehicle, in the rental car that he dropped off, but there was also cocaine residue. And the number of the Prescott Police Department offense report is 16-33-0-22. So if somebody's listening to this and they're a resident of Yavapai County,
yep,
they should be mad as hell at what transpired.
Well, especially because Sheila Polk, yeah, has been the champion, if you will, against anti-drug drugs.
Yes.
So what a hypocritical thing to do.
That's a great point. There's irony baked into this cake entirely. Just like the Greek tragedians would absolutely love this story. Tom Wolfe, one of my favorite novelists, would love this story because the irony is baked on so thick. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. What I was going to say is that, and we haven't even gotten to this, and we'll use our next segment because we're coming to the end of this one. You said spinning the globe, and it made me think about, number one, we didn't talk about this before the last election. It was suppressed. So it now 2 years, and it's finally getting out. But the other thing is, who were these countries, and what influence have they bought, and what is the impact of the influence that's been bought on this country, and who's going to be held responsible for that?
Mm-hmm.
Those are my questions.
Very good. Yes, we found federal felonies in Hunter's dealings with seven different nations. Six of those dealt with Foreign Agent Registration Act violations. And if you're before, I don't know how much time we have, but real quickly,
we'll have another half hour after this. So I really want you to unpack this for my listeners. There's too much good information. We could probably do this all week, actually, Garrett, to be honest with you. But
I would love to join.
Yeah, this is great. No, we've got about another minute. So go ahead and finish your thought, and then when we come back, we'll jump into that.
Yes. So there's three big sections in the report: business-related crimes, sex-related crimes, and drug-related crimes. And the law, and the meat of it is the business-related crimes, because I think that affects every American. And the seven countries that I alluded to were China, the Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Romania, Mexico, Serbia, and Libya. And the first six of those all had confirmed Foreign Agent Registration Act violations. What that means for all your listeners is Hunter was acting as an unregistered agent for a foreign principal trying to influence the U.S. government on behalf of those foreigners, and he wasn't registering that relationship with the Justice Department. It's a federal felony published by, you know, punishable by years in prison and millions in fine.
We're going to be back right after these messages. We're talking to Garrett Ziegler and the effect of the Hunter Biden laptop and what it means to America. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson. Welcome back to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson and my very special guest today, Garrett Ziegler. Garrett, you took on something and really have made it easy for people to see, and you've done it very systematically, laid this out, what Hunter Biden has done, what his laptop says he's done. So it's not like it's conjecture. It's all there in writing. The application, though, of the law violations is, I'm just going to say, is brilliant, because to be able to then take what he's done and assess a crime to it. Now, what is the appetite for people to prosecute these crimes? Where are we at with that? Because I think that's the most, this is all great information, but how do we hold these people accountable for the violations?
I would love to be able to put people in handcuffs, but we're just a charity. The most I can do is lay it neatly, like you said, at people's feet who do have the authority and responsibility to effectuate justice. I think one of our value adds is this idea of trying to effectuate justice at the state level outside of Joey's pardon powers is one of our value adds. Not very many people were talking about this when, before our report was released, but there's two whole pages talking about how the statute of limitations for most of these felonies has not passed yet. I mean, some of these money laundering offenses have, you know, 5 years. And Hunter, for example, got off the board of Burisma right when his daddy announced for president in April of 2019. And so any federal prosecutor could bring something before April of 2024. Now, there is a state, to answer your question very directly, that people have overlooked, and it's one thing that Hunter and his band of attorneys and fixers and media spinners haven't accounted for yet, which is Arkansas is where Hunter's financial advisor lives and works. His name's Edward Pruitt, and of course everybody knows about Arkansas being controlled by the Clintons, but now we have, there's a new attorney general coming in, and I think
a
new governor coming in, and there are specific people in this laptop, namely Rob Walker, who is Hunter's longtime friend and business partner. Rob Walker, to this day, owns a significant ownership share in a quote-unquote pandemic tracking firm called Metabiota that was deeply involved in Ukrainian biolabs. That man lives on Country Club Lane in Little Rock, and he would be ripe for any law enforcement official for subpoenas and document production, because we have him on over a half a dozen federal felonies in this report. And so I think that, Hunter is still getting some sleep at night because he knows his dad has an extraordinary power, namely the pardon power, which, again, is absolute, save for impeachments. And so he's resting easy in that regard. But one thing he's not expecting is a state level charge. And so that's what I would urge your listeners to consider. And, we're not looking for special treatment. This is just so blatant. And if Hunter is able to plea out here, which is what the U.S. attorney in Delaware is wanting him to do, who, by the way, is a Trump appointee, David Weiss, if he gets a plea deal and just has to pay some back taxes, it'll be one of the greatest limited hangouts in American legal history.
Yeah, it would be a travesty. Yeah.
Oh, of the sitting president's son, literally with hookers and blow in foreign oligarchs. Yeah. The evidence for which is so voluminous, it's undeniable.
Well, and you don't know this because we don't know each other that well, but I have been fighting sexual exploitation and sex trafficking for 12 years on record.
Oh, I know. I was reading about you before I called in.
And his laptop, when it first broke, obviously the sexual, the sexcapades, if you will, that's the polite way of saying what's on there. It's just...
Yes.
Pure depravity. He is the good, bad example for what you should not do. And I believe that there were children on there. There were so much perversion and that there's just, it's mind-blowing alone. That alone, he should be arrested and they should throw away the key.
Can I talk about that real quick?
Oh, absolutely. Please.
What we have, because this implicates Joe Biden and 10 other members of the Biden family and a couple of their friends committed state-level felonies in Delaware they were all mandated reporters per Delaware state law. And in fact, ironically, Beau Biden helped get that law changed to where everybody, not just social workers and teachers, are mandated reporters. And what we for sure have them on, there's no evidence that a penetration on the laptop, we'll just put it PG rated, between Hunter and his underage niece. But what there is evidence of, and we looked everywhere for it, is Hunter's sister-in-law, who he was having an affair with, his dead brother's widow, Hallie Biden, she accused Hunter of being, quote, sexually inappropriate with her underage daughter, who was 14 at the time. The exact allegations were thus: Hunter was walking around the house naked, smoking crack, FaceTiming girls naked. That's what her mother said that Hunter was doing with her daughter. And we found out through emails and texts and other correspondence that 11 people knew about these allegations. In fact, Hunter was complaining to his dad and saying that Hallie was unfair to do so, to accuse him of this. And so what we know at the very least is 11 people were mandated reporters and they didn't do anything. That includes Jill Biden, our illustrious first lady, if you want to call her that. And two other therapists. One's name's Carly Dolan out of California, and then an infamous one, a Republican named Keith Ablow from Massachusetts. So all these mandated reporter violations are serious. The Bidens pay lip service to them in public, but when it came down to it, they were willing to protect Hunter instead of protect their niece. And actually, Joe Biden says that in a very jarring text message. He says that his daughter-in-law is trying to separate him and Hunter, but don't worry because he cares about Hunter more than his grandchildren.
Oh my gosh.
That's all there in our report.
You know, and just think about it. That's the person that's leading this country in one of the most powerful positions in the world. And that's that level of... just it's evil. I'm sorry, I don't have a better word for it because I can't use half the words I'd like to use.
I was in Detroit on Thursday and I started out the talk by saying, imagine if Caligula's son left a laptop at a Roman repair shop. And that's what we stumbled upon. And my group just sat with the laptop longer than anyone, because I'm a glutton for punishment and I love writing. It's my favorite thing to do in the world. And it's a long form writer's dream, because the connections you can make amongst people is, and the human carnival has never been richer. I mean, I'm not sure if you're into philosophy, but Friedrich Nietzsche, who famously said God is dead in the 19th century, that wasn't a celebration, by the way. He was just describing what he saw in Germany in the 19th century already. He predicted what the 21st century was going to be like, and he actually is spot on. He said it's the total eclipse of all values. So for anybody out there who's wondering how we got to this position, this is what America looks like in the regime... And the regime's leadership when we have the total eclipse of all values.
And I think that, I'm talking to Garrett Ziegler, founder of Marco Polo, a nonprofit research group exposing corruption and blackmail to drive an American renaissance. I love that. I had an author on Friday, Mark Burrell, who has written a book based on the values of the Bible and how it dealt with the founding of our country. If there is ever a time that America needs to push back, to rise up, we've had this whole January 6th thing going on. If this new Congress doesn't take this on and use this, then we might as well go home.
Yeah, and we sent it to everybody in Congress. Everybody got a physical copy. Now we're sending everybody got a digital copy on October 19th. We're now sending physical copies. We've got a commitment from a congressman to put it into the congressional record. But what we want, like you said, is criminal referrals at the local and state level, because if they do a criminal referral to Merrick Garland, he's just going to scrunch it up and throw it in the trash can. Because
yeah.
Merrick is going to do whatever his boss wants to do. And, you know, talking about the values in the old in the Bible, specifically the New Testament, you know, the lesson for this Sunday in Advent was John the Baptist. And his main message was repent. And I think that's been one of the most frustrating things, is we've seen absolutely no repentance from Hunter and his family. Zero. I mean, we're all sinners and none of us are perfect, but if the Bidens would just come and just repent once, but they don't repent.
But it's a house of cards, Garrett. If they repent once, then the whole house falls down. I mean, this is a family that has built crime upon crime upon crime. I worry about the money that went to Ukraine and the money that still goes to Ukraine. Is that a payoff? Is that a continued payoff? What are we getting for that? And I look at the inflation in this country. I look at what they are choking the life out of this country while becoming insanely wealthy and powerful, and that's not how this country was founded.
No, I think the money laundering opportunities for the money they're throwing now is astronomical. I mean, in 2016, it was with Privat Bank and Ihor Kolomoisky. Ihor Kolomoisky is a tri-citizen, Cyprus, Israel, Ukraine, and he features prominently in our report. We actually think Ihor Kolomoisky was the one behind Hunter's board membership at Burisma, not Mykola Zlochevsky, who they call a mini-garch. It's really Kolomoisky who's the oligarch. And all that is to say is, if we can't even audit our own DOD, what makes people think that we're going to be able to audit the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense? And all these Republicans who say we need to go protect Ukraine, that's all that is crocodile tears. You can, you know, you'd be better served staying at home and monitoring sentiment on social media than giving money to, because it's all just going to end up in bad hands. We have no way of tracking this. We don't have a clue where the billions are going. And by the way, the congressmen don't either. Hardly any of them dive deep into the details.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, their staffers haven't had time. We're going to take our last break. Yeah. It's only a minute 30. We'll be back and we'll finish up strong. Garrett Ziegler on Hunter Biden's laptop, Marco Polo. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m., The Voice. Welcome back to 10:30 a.m., The Voice. I'm talking to Garrett Ziegler. Garrett, you have put so much work into this. How long did this report take for you to compile?
The drafting took 13 months. The research took another 5. And so we started Marco Polo in July of 2021. I left the White House in January of 2021. And it was a slog. You know, I've definitely benefited from the private investigators I was working with. We basically took all of his phone contacts and ran background reports on the most significant people, got a breakdown of their LLCs, their financial affairs, and then went from there. But to answer your question directly, it took 13 months of writing. There's 179,000 words.
And hopefully someday your nonprofit has benefited from this great work. This is so comprehensive. Although, like you say, you can't prosecute. You hope that prosecutors step forward and take this on. You mentioned at the very top of our hour, how many states are involved? Is that the only case in Arizona, or do we have something else that Hunter did here, or are we out of it because we didn't do our job?
No, this is a very good question. On page 455 is the Arizona affair, and the statute of limitations have passed on that one, and we found nothing on the laptop otherwise linking him to Arizona. So that was the shot for justice that Yavapai County really.
We can't get him for any ballots in door 3 here, because I was kind of hoping that maybe we could. Sorry.
Well, one thing we noticed is Hunter is never I don't want to say never because that's a strong word. Hunter is very rarely relied upon to know the minutiae of something.
Okay.
But his job is to make the intros and to say, you know, my daddy can help in this way. he's not, there's people in his life that have him like beat by 20 to 25 IQ points that are relied upon to do the hard work. He, you know, in a decade of this guy's life, we didn't find one slide deck he put together, because remember, the public story is that he was in private equity, but there's no evidence that he knew even how to put a PowerPoint slide together for investors. The lack of work that he did is simply astonishing. There's like a welder listening to your show right now in Tucson. They would be embarrassed by this guy's daily life. He didn't do anything all day. I mean, we have his calendar. His days were filled with like making one call to a foreigner talking about some U.S. policy issue, and that's it. That was his day. Other than smoking crack.
Oh my gosh. And he has, so he's protected, right? He's the president's son. So he's
at the federal level, he's totally protected. And we did this not because we think there's going to be justice at the federal level, but that we value, I think truth is easier to attain than justice. Justice is a very high bar. And you know better than me that that the history of the world is one of rape and pillage, yes, and sin. And so it's a very high bar to achieve justice, but I could achieve truth with this, and that's what I wanted to do. And even if nothing happens to Hunter Biden or the Biden family, people will know the unvarnished truth. I mean, we have the most disgusting scenarios here where the president's daughter-in-law is like going down to Philadelphia to meet with male escorts, and Hunter's mad about it. I mean, stuff that Jerry Springer show features is on this laptop.
Jerry Springer show. Well, this family, you know, they could spend a week, a month on Jerry Springer show. What I think we need to understand, though, is that that people can put pressure on their congressmen, women, to do something about this. People can put pressure on their own state legislators or their own state prosecutors, or even in the county level, depending on in certain places they have county attorneys, and others they have district attorneys.
Yes.
How about Texas? Did Hunter do anything in Texas?
There is a insurance fraud charge dealing with this Arizona affair, because I mentioned on page 455 that the rental car that Hunter dropped off at the Prescott Regional Airport was the second rental car. The first rental car, he hit the median going 100 miles an hour on I-10 coming from California. And that featured an insurance fraud case whereby Hunter and his assistant Joanne Mayer lied to the insurance claimant. And actually, Hunter Biden, even though he spent precisely 36 hours in the Navy before testing positive for cocaine, still got to keep his USAA account because he didn't have a dishonorable discharge. And so they lied to the USAA. So not only did Hunter lie to the insurance agent, he actually ripped off other veterans by making their premiums go up to pay for his mistakes. And so that involves Texas, because one of the companies involved is domiciled in Texas, namely USAA in San Antonio. And so there are state-level offenses that are right on the edge of statute of limitations. And of course, we've sent this to the AG's office in all of those states.
What a disgrace.
States.
What an absolute disgrace.
Yes.
And shame on USAA. It seems like that everyone's been bought off. Everyone doesn't want to get into the hassle of what this will do. It reminds me of Joe Biden bragging about the fact that the Ukraine authority that they removed I remember him saying that they threatened that person, and then that person got removed from their job because that person was going to hold
Viktor Shokin.
Yes.
That's a phenomenal story. He's sitting at the D.C. headquarters of one of the most demonic organizations in the modern world, the Council on Foreign Relations. He's sitting there with Mike Carpenter and Richard Haass. Carpenter, as you'll know, is the current ambassador to the OSCE. So if anybody's listening and thinking, well, this is, you know, spilt milk under the bridge, this isn't contemporary, no. The very people in the Biden laptop are in positions today. They failed upwards. In fact, their loyalty to the Bidens has caused them to get promoted under Joe's presidency. And he's talking about Viktor Shokin. He said, son of a, he got fired. So that he's bragging about his ability to strong arm a second world Eastern Bloc country. And by the way, Viktor Shokin was investigating Burisma. None of this has been debunked. So whatever NPR says, you know, I just want the listeners to understand this. Whatever NPR says about Ukraine is not true. So none of that has been debunked. When the president called, when President Trump, and I was in the White House at this time, called Vladimir Zelensky, the first thing he brought up was not the Bidens. It was CrowdStrike, meaning the company that did the quote-unquote remediation for the DNC server that was falsely claimed to be hacked by Russians. There's zero evidence for that. We have zero exfiltration data. Sean Henry, the CEO of CrowdStrike, said that under oath to Congress. And so this goes back to 2016. So I guess my point in bringing up CrowdStrike is that Ukraine is sort of their proxy nation whereby they do a lot of dirty work. Right. And there's been allegations that Ukraine is the place where that server still resides. It got flown over there because, remember, the FBI never took it. They just took CrowdStrike's word for it, which is ridiculous.
Well, and we know the FBI has been weaponized, and we know the FBI doesn't Yes. really represent us anymore. And it's corrupt. There's so much corruption right now, it's almost overwhelming. And that's why it takes such moral courage to do what you're doing, to stand up, to say the truth. But the truth is very brief and very direct, and it is lies and corruption that take a lot of explanation. And the problem is when you do that, you expose your lies even more because you can't cover everything because you have to make stuff up. And Hunter,
yes, you start.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that Mark Twain said you don't have to remember anything when you tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's not what Hunter has to do. There's so many lies that he has to remember all these lies. And it's like carrying a stack of plates, right? Some of those plates are going to start falling because the lies are just too elaborate and he's not going to remember which lie he told to which person. And we go into that in the report. We clearly show him telling certain things to one person and then within the same hour in another text conversation. Like he tells his dad he needs $75,000 for rehab. The very same day he gets two Eastern European hookers and wires and $10,000. So he's using this is after he's left the White House when Joe goes on a speaking tour and makes millions of dollars. So they had this set up to where when Joey was in the White House, Hunter paid for everything. And then when Hunter blew through the money from the Chinese on hookers and blow, Joey started paying for his stuff.
It's crazy. It's almost so unbelievable you can't believe it, except that we know that it's true. And this is our president. This is our president. What does that say about our country?
Caligula's time.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's, you know, putting it in those terms that it's Caligula's son helps calm my mind because it's been this bad before, but we just think that it never has because in America we've had, you know, a pretty fair shake. I mean, we don't want this to occur in this country. I don't want this to become the norm. That's part of the reason why we did the dossier as well, because we don't want the moral level to this be like for the next controversy to have to supersede this.
We don't want someone to go for the next latest greatest of this.
Yes.
That this is our low. That this laptop and this depravity and this perversion is the line in the sand that we won't get worse than this. And I only pray that that is true. Garrett, please let my listeners know one more time how they can read what you've written, get in touch with you, support your nonprofit if they want to. And I just want to thank you for this amazing conversation today. I'm getting all kinds of texts, and so I just go ahead and take the last minute.
Well, I was just going to say thank you for having me on, Kathleen. I'd like to join again. I personally love going on localized stations so I can talk about what's on the laptop that pertains to those places. Our website, again, is marcopolousa.org. Everything is on there, all of our social media. Every time we're featured in the press, we've had 170 times our research has been cited in the media in the last year. That's a very wide reach. Mm. So marcopolousa.org, and if they want to go straight to the online version of the report, it's just hereshunter.com.
We will be back tomorrow. You've been listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. This is Kathleen Wynn Tucson. Go out and make it a great day.